We finish up our study of Galatians today in the sixth chapter. Paul has been walking us through. We'll remind ourselves here where we've been. Paul first starts off this letter to the Galatian people, reminding them about his authority as an apostle to make the claims that he's making in this letter to them. We recall that the folks have accepted Christ through faith, and now some folks have come along and told them, no, it's not by faith that you are saved. It is by following the law. And specifically, they're talking about circumcision, but this is a message for more than just the guys here. This is a message that when we talk about circumcision in the scriptures, generally we're talking about whether we live by the law and the rules. And I'm not advocating that we all go out and just start causing all kinds of trouble. But whether we live by that law or whether we live justified, declared righteous by faith in Christ. And that's the argument that Paul is making, is that the law cannot save you. The law cannot empower you with the Holy Spirit. Only salvation by faith through the grace of Christ can do these things. So he starts off by sharing in the first couple chapters, he talks about his authority as an apostle to make that claim and how he was called by Jesus. And then he, in the next couple chapters, talks about the theology of the Holy Spirit and the theology of justification by faith. And then now in these last two chapters of this letter is talking about how we apply it. And what he's specifically doing here is he's juxtaposing the idea of walking by the flesh or walking by the Spirit. And last week we talked about that idea of the fruit of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. Do we reveal about how we walk by the fruit that's born in our life? And Paul says, if you walk by the Spirit, if you live by the Spirit, then you will bear the fruit of the Spirit. If you walk by the flesh, if you live by the flesh, you'll bear the fruit of the flesh. And he goes on to talk about that some more in this last chapter. So if you've got your Bibles, read with me in Galatians 6, and it begins, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." Now, what is the law of Christ? What did we find out last week from Galatians 5? What is the law of Christ? That we what? Love one another, okay? So Paul's not saying we aren't to do good and we aren't to follow the commandments of Christ, but he's saying the Old Testament law isn't what's going to get us there, okay? "So each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ, that we love one another. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have a reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load." Now, what he means there, we've got a funny thing going on here. He says, bear one another's burdens, but then he says, bear your own load. So what's going on here? I mean, is Paul just kind of talking out of both sides of his mouth here? No. When he talks about bearing one another's burdens, he's talking about praying for each other, about helping build one another up, about studying the scriptures together, doing those things that build up the body of Christ and help each other when we are under heavy loads. But when he says that each one will bear his own load, He means we each have to carry our own cross. We each have to turn to God with our own faith. We can't save someone else by our faith. That is the responsibility of themselves. So each one bears his own load. Each one of us will face Christ and be judged on our own, not on what those around us have done, not by the sins of those around us, nor by the faith of those around us. Okay? So the language here is more of one being, in the first state, it's more of one being burdened down with heavy baggage. Okay? And in the second, it's actually two different words. Paul is talking about when we bear our own load, it's actually the same word used for like a backpack. Okay? So each one has work, has that thing that they need to do on their own. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Did you catch that? What he's saying is circumcision, no circumcision, it doesn't matter. What matters is, are you a new creation in Christ? If you're not a new creation in Christ, it doesn't matter whether you get circumcised or not. It doesn't matter whether you follow the law or not. For Christ came so that we would be new creations. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. May God bless this reading of his holy word. Now, what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to skip most of what I planned to talk to you about. I'm just going to hit the high points. Frankly, not because we're a little short on time, because that never bothers me most of the time anyway. But because I feel like we need to focus on the real essence of what this is and not get into some of the weedy stuff, some of the dandelions, so to speak. But I do want to share a couple important things with you. William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, was unable to attend their international convention one year because of his health. And so he wanted to send a message to the delegate body in his absence. And he sent a message. It contained one word: others. In Scripture, we read over and over again the word, you shall love one another. We're also instructed to pray for one another, to edify one another, to show hospitality to one another, and even to build one another up. Last week, right after worship, in our semi-annual council meeting, We agreed together as a body to be of a specific purpose, a specific mission, inviting people to know Jesus who empowers us to make a difference. Inviting people to know Jesus who empowers us to make a difference. And that is about one thing. It's about the other. You see, it's not about us. It's about sharing what we have with those who don't have it. It's about neighbor before self. Remember what it says in Galatians 5:14, for the whole of the law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so in these closing thoughts in Galatians, Paul is comparing the lives of those who believe in following the law and the lives of those who live by the Spirit. Lives that show fruit of the flesh, lives that reveal the fruit of the Spirit. And basically what he's going to come down to here is four basic ideas. He tells us to lighten the load versus placing heavy burdens. See, the people who are preaching the law are not trying to lighten the load of the people in Galatia. They're actually placing burdens on them. In Matthew 23, Jesus talks about this, about the religious leaders. He says, you run around placing burdens all over people that you yourselves cannot even live with. And yet you think somehow they can do it. And all you do it for is your own vain glory, so that you can say you want a convert. You don't do it for their benefit. You do it so you can say, we got another one in our club. But those who live by the Spirit offer the grace of Christ, not the burden of religion. They offer freedom from the law. And actually, we don't offer that. We point to the one who does, because Jesus offers that. Living by the Spirit bears each other's burdens. It lightens the load when we pray for one another, when we study together, when we do these things. You see, the legalist uses these times of struggle, these times of temptation, rather than seeing a brother or sister in temptation and going to them, and how does it say, with gentleness, right? Have you ever thought of somebody who comes after you with the law? Do they come after you with gentleness? You sinner. Look at me, I'm not sinning, but you are, right? But one who has grace, one who knows the power of grace in their own life, says, what's the old saying? There but for the grace of God go I. Okay? If I know that I am a sinner saved by grace, how can I condemn someone else, but instead come and help lead my brother or sister with gentleness instead of condemnation? But see, the legalist just wants to make sure everybody's just like them. Except the problem is, what does Jesus say? You're not very good at making them just like you. Well, actually you are. You're trying to make them better than you because you know you can't do it, but they can't do it either. And that's why I came, Jesus says. So the first thing that the difference is that those living by grace, those living by the power of the Holy Spirit and bearing the fruit of the Spirit will help brothers and sisters lighten the load rather than placing heavy burdens upon them. The second thing is, and this next item runs as a theme throughout all of these last two chapters of Galatians. Those who live by the Spirit live in humility. Those who live by the law live in a place of pride. Because there's a sense of, look at how good I am. Whereas humility says, look at what Christ has done. See, one seeks glory for God, the other seeks glory for self. That's the way Jesus talks in Matthew 23. You search land and sea to gain a convert so that you can make them twice a son of hell as you are. See, Paul says here at the end of Galatians 6, they're not doing this because they love God. They're doing this because they love what the credit that they get when they get you to join their way. But those who walk by the Spirit don't care about glory, don't care about credit, don't care about recognition. Now, is there a person here that doesn't care about recognition? I'm not trying to lay a big trip on you. I mean, it pads my ego when I get it. I don't know about you guys. But the reality is we all like it. So what does that show us all? If we start to examine our own hearts, we all need to grow some more, right? We all need to continue to grow so that we aren't seeking that. We're seeking glory for Christ and not glory for ourselves. Because the one walking in the Spirit will serve and love and walk in humility versus self-glorification. Think about what that means when Jesus talks about about specks and logs, right? Okay. Why is it that the person is always wanting to call out the sin in someone else's life? Is it because they're blind from the log? No, it's actually a matter of the heart. See, if I can call out the sin in your life, I look better. But Jesus says, take the log out of your own eyes so that way you now can see and are able to help your neighbor remove the speck out of their own eye. See, only a humble person says, I guess I need to look at myself first. And that's what Jesus is teaching. Look in the mirror first before you start pointing fingers. The third thing that Paul talks about is sowing seeds to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Okay? We've all heard the saying, you reap what you sow. Well, Paul says that in this letter, that we reap what we sow. Our garden's coming up pretty nice right now, and I can tell what came up in every place, not because I'm so smart, but because I've seen a bean plant before, so I know what a bean plant is. But if I plant beans, should I expect that I'm going to get corn? If I plant potatoes, should I expect that I'm going to get broccoli? That would be nutty, right? And you'd say I was an idiot. And rightly so. Come on, you can say I'm an idiot. It's okay. Say you're an idiot. Thank you. So, if we plant seeds to the flesh, because we want bigger houses or more recognition or more notoriety or more power or more stuff. And if we plant seeds to grow that stuff, why then do we think we're going to get fruit born of the Spirit? Say, if you do that, you're an idiot. Come on, if you do that, you're an idiot, right? I mean, think about it, folks. We don't plant corn and expect beans. But we turn around and spend our effort and our time and our money and our passion and our energy, everything, on seeking after the things of the world and then expect that we're going to get the things of the Spirit. Not so smart, huh? That's what Paul's talking about. And he says, if you sow seeds in the flesh, then all you get is things that end up corrupted. All you get are things that are going to be destroyed. Whereas if you sow seeds in the Spirit, then you receive life. What are you investing in? What are we as a people investing in? The money that we have, the time that we have, the energy that we have, the passion that we have. What are we investing those things into? Vacations and boats and houses and cars. And all kinds of things that have no value in the kingdom of God. And yet, we say, God, where are you? Why aren't you working in my life? Why don't I feel peace in the midst of all this turmoil in the world? And God says, but you invested in that. Not in the things of the Spirit. See, we can't invest in the flesh and expect to see the fruit of the Spirit. The last thing he says, and I think he keeps this one last because if we don't get the other ones right, we can't even get to this one. Never grow weary of doing good. Okay? We got it a little bit wrong in the bulletin. Doing good will never cause us to grow weary. But he says, never grow weary in doing good. Now, why is it that we grow weary in doing good? Because we do it with the wrong motives. We go help at the homeless shelter so it looks good. So that way somebody will see how good of a Christian we are. And then we don't get the recognition. And then we wonder, well, why did I bother to do that? Because what was I investing in? I was investing in the flesh. See? But the fruit that comes out of that is corrupted. It's no good. It rots. It goes away. But if we go because the love of God has created within us the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit of love and hope and kindness and gentleness, then we go help. Not because it's the right thing to do, but because we can't help but go do it. And then we really don't care one whit if anybody even notices. because we went because we were compelled to do it. See, Paul's saying that when this whole idea of being justified by the law is about self. Look what I can do. It's almost like we die and go to face Jesus and we say, Jesus, look at all the stuff I did for you. You have to let me in. I earned it. And Jesus quotes something he said a long time ago, and he says, away from me, I never knew you. You didn't do it for me. You didn't do it for my glory. You did it for your own glory. And Jesus says, if we do something for our own glory, when we get that reward, when we get that recognition, when we get the whatever the reward that we were seeking in this world, what does he say? There's no reward left in heaven for you. You've already received what you desired. So if we're doing it for recognition, if we're doing it for our own glory and we get that glory, we've already gotten the reward. And Jesus says, there is no reward reserved in heaven for you. In Peter's word, there is no salvation reserved in heaven for us. Why is it reserved in heaven? Because it gets tainted down here, see? So that's what all of this is about. It's about what is your motive? Are you surrendered to Jesus Christ? And the fact that he, through his love, has declared you righteous through your faith in him. Or are you trying to earn your way to glory and to the kingdom? That's the difference between living with the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So never grow weary of doing good. Pastor Warren Wiersbe writes this: people around us are starving for love, joy, peace, and all the other graces of the Spirit. When they find them in our lives, they know that we have something that they lack. We do not bear fruit for our own consumption. We bear fruit that others might be fed and helped, and that Christ might be glorified. The flesh may manufacture results that bring praise to us, but the flesh cannot bear fruit that brings glory to God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we finish up this study on Paul's letter to the people of Galatia, we think about the ways that it applies to our own lives, the ways that we place burdens on others, the ways that we fail to help our brothers and sisters in carrying loads that are too much for them, but also the places, Lord, where we fail to carry that which is ours alone to carry. We think about what it means to examine our own heart . What it means to take the log out of our own eye so that we are then enabled to help a brother or sister in need. We thank you for this reminder, Lord. To look in the mirror. But we are also grateful that in looking at that mirror and seeing our own sinfulness, that we can turn to you and that in trusting you, we can trust your mercy and your grace to make us clean. And so we praise you this day. We praise you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and